You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
Hello and welcome to this Times Higher Education Asia Universities Summit podcast special. My name's Chris Parr. I'm joined by Rankings editor Phil Beatty, Rankings reporter Ellie Bothwell, Deputy News Editor John Morgan, and Head of Content and Engagement for our summits, Tim Savula. This year's Asia University Summit takes place in partnership with the University of Ulsan in South Korea, and it takes place next week on the 14th to the 16th of March on the institution's campus. The theme for this year's summit is building stronger alliances between universities and industry, and the event will also play host to the launch of the 2017 Asia University Rankings. Now, in a moment, we'll hear from Phil and Ellie about what we might see in those rankings. We'll also hear about some of the highlights of the summit programme from Tim. And we'll, at the end of the podcast, hear from Sung Pyo Jun, a dean at the University of Ulsan, about why this summit is so important for universities in Asia. But first, John Morgan, we'll come to you. You'll be in attendance at the summit next week. And in advance of that, you've penned a cover feature for Times Higher Education magazine, looking at the extensive links between universities and industry forged by universities across the world. What have you found out?
So this is a piece based around some data that was compiled for Times Higher by Clarivate Analytics, and it's basically compiling a table of universities that publish the highest proportions of their research output in collaboration with industry, and rather fittingly for the Asia Summit being hosted by University of Ulsan, it features very prominently a number of South Korean universities. Top of the table is POSTECH, which is a university that was founded by Korean steel company POSCO in 1986. Mm. We've also got a couple of Scandinavian institutions in there, Norwegian University of Science and Technology, which has close tie-ups with an industrial research offshoot that emerged from it a few decades ago called Sintef, and that's focused on solar, wind and hydropower. Got Sweden's Chalmers University of Technology, which links closely with a number of Volvo companies on projects including electric and autonomous vehicles. But in terms of the South Korean universities, it's links with Samsung that are particularly evident. There's a number of universities figure in the table we compiled of universities publishing the highest proportions of their total research outputs in collaboration with a single company. South Korean universities and Samsung really did figure very strongly there.
Mm, and Ulsan, of course, has very close relations with Hyundai. There must be pros and cons to these kind of industrial tie-ups.
Well, when I asked why South Korea might figure so prominently in terms of university-industry collaborations, it was suggested that this might be something to do with the fact that South Korea was a poor agriculture-based economy until the early 1960s that's undergone an industrial miracle since. So Martin Hemmert, who's a professor at Korea University Business School, pointed out that Korea's got an extremely high R&D spending, big focus on high-tech industries, but it was coming from a catch-up position. So those high-tech companies emerging didn't have sort of strong foundations in basic research, so they look to universities to do that for them. So they've really, the companies have benefited from those close links with universities. South Korea's economy has benefited, but negatives, you might look and see that Samsung is now embroiled in a major corruption scandal in Korea that's led to the impeachment of the nation's president, or attempted impeachment. You can see in that there might be kind of reputational impacts possibly from if you get too close to a particular company, does that have an effect? But Professor Hemmert suggested that in Samsung's case it was unlikely to have any impact because, you know, it's got such a prominent position in the South Korean economy, and universities realise it's so strongly number one that it's unlikely to make any difference.
Interesting stuff. That and many more issues discussed in that piece that you can read at timeshighereducation.com. Thank you, John. Now, some of the issues discussed in that piece will, of course, be discussed at our summit too. Tim, looking at the programme, perhaps you'd like to pick up, I dare say a few people listening to this will be on their way to the summit, perhaps you'd like to pick up on a few of the highlights that you in particular are looking forward to.
Thanks, Chris. I mean, We are really blessed, I think, looking at the programme by the diversity in particular of the speakers and the topics that we're going to hear about next week in Ulsan. Because although clearly this is the Asia University Summit and we're focusing on alliances between university and industry, the topics that we're talking about, you know, will have real global relevance for anybody, you know, involved in these kinds of projects. And so as well as having, I think we've got about 20 presidents, vice presidents or chairmen and CEOs of major companies speaking at the summit, you know, but outside of Asia, we've also got representative from TUM Asia, or TUM Munich, sorry. We've got a speaker from the University of Leeds. We've got speakers from Audencia Business School in France. We have a representative of the Japanese government's Council for Science and Technology and Innovation speaking. So it's not solely university presidents and vice presidents who are on the panel and sharing their views. We also have, for example, the chairman of Elsevier, YSG, giving the opening keynote address about leveraging the impact potential of collaboration between academia and industry, which I think will be hugely interesting. And we're also absolutely honoured to welcome the Deputy Prime Minister of Korea, who's also the Minister of Education, Dr. Yoon-sik Lee, who'll be making the inaugural address first thing in the morning of the 15th of March. So I think it's going to be a really stimulating conference, and I really can't wait to hear about the diversity of perspectives that we'll get in Ulsan next week.
And there will also, of course, be presentations on the launch of the 2017 Times Higher Education Asia University Rankings. Ellie, perhaps come to you first on this. We can't give too much away at this point. We'll be publishing this ahead of the grand unveiling, but the Asia University Rankings, always one of the most eagerly anticipated rankings of the year.
Yes, I mean, last year we had a new number one in Asia, the National University of Singapore, and that, you know, was a big headline. So it'll be interesting to see if Singapore's sort of number one again, and Nanyang was also number two. So yeah, it'll be good to see whether Singapore sort of keeps up its performance. Last year there was also sort of continuing rise of China and a decline of Japan. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how that progresses as well, you know, whether the balance of power is kind of continuing to shift in China's favour.
True. I don't think I'm giving too much away by saying I think there may be some sort of shifts around in those upper echelons, and you'll find out when we publish them next week. But Phil, you'll be the one who sort of stands on that podium and announces the results. How beneficial is it to make that unveiling and that announcement actually out in Asia?
Well, look, part of it's a nice bit of theatre. Everyone loves the rankings. It's particularly big in parts of East Asia where the development of their universities is so important. The upward trajectory is so significant, so they really get a lot out of the data. But of course, when you're doing rankings, you need to be accountable, you need to be transparent. So being face-to-face with the people we're ranking is important. So I'm doing a couple of detailed masterclasses. We have 4 hours worth of masterclasses before the conference starts, which is basically presenting rankings data in an in-depth way in small groups, so that we are utterly accountable and transparent for our methodology, for our data. And then, of course, we unveil the results with a deep analysis from our data tools and with contributions from Elsevier as well. So it's important for us to get out in these face-to-face meetings. We're not just about the data, we're about the context and the people behind the data. So it's a fantastic opportunity for us.
Indeed. And just so we don't miss any housekeeping points, the rankings are officially published online at 4 p.m. on Wednesday, the 15th of March. That's UK time. Now, earlier today, I spoke with Sun Pyo Jun, who is a dean at the University of Ulsan, where the Asia University Summit will, of course, take place. And I began by asking him why the summit is so important for universities in Asia.
Okay, well, many leading Asian universities began to grow in the 1980s, and some of them were very successful and made a tremendous progress. As you know, especially the universities in Hong Kong, Singapore, and Korea. But most Asian universities are still underestimated, and to some extent, they are not getting enough recognition that they deserve. So many Asian universities are very keen to have their research and education known, and the Asia University Summit is a wonderful chance to do it. And also there is another reason for that. That is, as you may know, Asian universities did not seriously emphasize competition until late 20th century. To me, that was the main reason why Asian universities have been far behind the Western peers. Asia University Summit is a forum for exchanging ideas and experiences, but at the same time, it's the place where they announce university rankings. That is, the Asia University Summit is the arena for competition. So for Asian universities, the summit serves as a stimulus to press research at home, to allocate money and resources into research, to develop better educational or teaching skills, and to search for jobs for students. That's why I think the Asia University Summit is very important, especially for Asian universities.
That's very, very interesting. Maybe one more thing I would ask you before we leave it. Lots of people listening to this podcast might be on their way to Ulsan for the summit. It's not the best known city in the world. What's what can we expect to find there, and why is it such a great location for this summit?
Okay, well, Ulsan is a symbol. Well, I can say this for sure. Ulsan is a symbol of collaboration between industry and academia. The University of Ulsan was founded 47 years ago by the founder of Hyundai Heavy Industries, which later grew into the largest shipbuilding company in the world. Since its birth, the University of Ulsan has supplied well-educated labor and has continuously produced advanced technology for the local industry. In return, the local companies have provided the University of Ulsan with steady financial supports in the form of research grants, scholarships, internships, and financial aids. In Ulsan, well, you can see how a university and companies are benefiting each other by working together. The cooperation between the University of Ulsan and the local companies was the driving force that made Ulsan the leader of Korea's miraculous development and the most affluent city of Korea. And thanks to the research and educational collaboration with local companies, the University of Ulsan grew to be the 10th best college of more than 300 Korean universities and the 52nd best in Asia in less than 50 years. And we are proud of it.
And rightly so. Professor Sung-kyo-jun, thank you very much for speaking to me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for listening to this THE Asia University Summit podcast special. You can read all the coverage from the summit itself at timeshighereducation.com, and you can find all of our World University Rankings information at www.theur.com. Do head there now and you can comment on anything that we've discussed and indeed anything else that we cover from that event. But that's all for this THE podcast special.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.